Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
And I so appreciate the way that he said, you know, some of us come into Mother's Day and we're excited to celebrate Mother's Day. We have awesome moms. I have a fantastic mom. I have a great mother-in-law. And so Mother's Day is awesome for me. I have great kids most of the time. And, you know, Mother's Day is a good day. But, you know, some of us didn't have good moms. And some of us have lost our moms. And that can be really, really hard on a day like today. And some of us have lost children. And that leaves a hole in a mama's heart, you know? And some of us are just trying to survive being a mom, right? Some of us barely made it here with our hair not flying out and with all the kids in the car and not screaming, right? We made it here. And I applaud you for that. And some of us long to be moms, you know, and sometimes that feels like a never going to happen kind of thing. But all of those things, whatever your feelings are about Mother's Day, like Corey said, we are so glad that you are here this morning. And I want you to know that you're not alone, because I guarantee you the way that you're feeling about Mother's Day sitting here, somebody else is too. And I'm grateful that you are here this morning, surrounded by church family. And feeling whatever you're feeling and facing whatever you're facing today, to know that you are seen, that you are valued, and that you are loved. So let's pray as we begin this message this morning. God, I come to you this morning and I thank you for every single person that is in here today. I thank you for bringing them through the doors of this campus. And I pray that you would give us all ears to hear and eyes to see what you would have for us today, that we would be, that our hearts would be softened to receive from you today. And I just thank you, God, for being an amazing, awesome, all-knowing, ever-present God who is working right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about moments and memories. You know, as the slideshow was playing, like each of us probably all saw something that we remembered, right? Whether it was you as a kid or you as a mom, somebody else that you know. I'll be quite honest, seeing Madeline with Pastor Madeline, the children's pastor with Baby Jane all the time, it's just precious, you know, and Janie with Baby Jane. I know that the Tillery family loves Baby Jane, you know, and so we see people that we love. We see other moms who are our friends, who are amazing moms, in those pictures. And so we have these moments and they become memories. So I want to talk to you about moments and memories. And I believe that each of you are sitting here today on purpose. It is no accident that on this day and in this place that you are here for a reason. We serve a God who is in the details, and he never, ever, ever, can't say that enough, right? Ever, ever wastes anything, ever. And so he has something that he wants for you to hear this morning. So I want to encourage you to open your heart and your mind for what that is and to grab hold of it today. Every single one of us that is in this room, sitting here in this building, we're on a journey, right? We're on this journey to create a life, to create moments and memories that are distinctly yours, okay? Not your spouse's, not your kids, not your parents, not your friends, not your neighbors. Like, you're on a journey that is your journey, right? And there are people that are alongside of you, but it is distinctly yours. Psalm 139, 13 through 17 says this: "You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my formless substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts for me, God, and how vast is the sum of them. God knew you from the beginning of time, right? Before you were even a thought in anyone else's mind, he knew you. And he had a plan for you, what you would do, what you would become. Every step along the way, he knows. He knows the valleys and the mountaintops, the joys and the sorrows. And he is working in each and every one of those moments, in you and for you. Psalm 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom." The word number in Hebrew is a word that means count, number, assign, tell, and appoint, right? It's not just, oh, throwing a number out there. It's that that number is specific for you, that God has assigned specific things for you. It also speaks of thinking soberly of each day that we are given. So knowing that this is true, you want to make the most of every day that you have, right? YOLO, right? We have all these terms like, you know, we only live once, you've only got today, right? And so, but we say those things, but we want to live it that way. We want to live with intentionality. And so knowing that this is true, you want to make the most of every day and live your life as if it counts, to make it count. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5:15-17, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." You want to make the most of every opportunity. Okay, so some of you sitting here, you've been serving Jesus for a long time, right? You've been walking with him for a long time. Some of you sitting in here may have been serving him for a short amount of time, right? On your journey, you're just getting started. And some of you may be sitting here this morning and you've not made a decision one way or the other about where that journey, where God is included in that journey, right? And so I just want to encourage you this morning that wherever you are, to remember that you are loved by the creator of the universe and that he is with you on this journey. Recognizing where you are also means not comparing yourself to anyone else. Okay, each of you are sitting here and you are uniquely you. And there's some that are further along, that are some are further behind. There are some that we link arms with and we're walking with. But we don't want to compare ourselves. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work his good pleasure." Like, that's a promise that he's working in you and for you for his good pleasure. And that his callings and his giftings are our callings and our giftings. Okay, our work for this journey. And only you can make your days count with him. And like I said, we should never compare ourselves to others. Teddy Roosevelt said that comparison is the thief of joy. Right? I don't know if you've ever had your kids open up something that everybody's opening presents at Christmas, and your kid is super excited, right? And they open up their present, and they're like, "Oh, yes. This is exactly what I wanted. This is exactly what I asked for. Thank you so much." And then their sibling opens up a gift and they're all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, what? Wait a minute." And just like that, comparing and the joy of that moment is gone, right? And so we do that with ourselves, right? We compare, or okay, let me speak for myself. I do that. Maybe you guys are fantastic, well-adjusted men and women who do not compare yourselves to other people, okay? So I will only say that I. Okay, I do that. And so Teddy Roosevelt said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And in this world, we have a gazillion, that's probably not even enough, opportunities right now to compare ourselves to other people, right? We are bombarded constantly with the things that we should be doing, the coolest things to be wearing, what exercises we should be doing, the best car to drive, the best place to live, the best foods to eat. I mean, if you want to know how to do it, you can find it. Like, you just got to look up somebody. Well, somebody tell me how I should be doing this. And somebody will. Like, they will tell you exactly what it is you should be doing, right? And so we're this bombardment of things, and it's so easy to compare, right? I see moms all the time who have it all together. Some of them are my amazing friends, right? And they've got all their stuff together. I see other moms, and they've got organizational hacks and meal planning, and they've got cleaning lists. Like, you do these things on this day and your house will just stay clean. My husband knows that I haven't figured that part out yet. He's laughing because he's like, what? There's those kinds of lists? We need that, right? And then you look at their kids, other people's kids, and you're like, man, they have got their ducks in a row. And I'm over here going, ducks? I don't have ducks. I've got squirrels. And they're just like, you know, and I love my kids, and they would probably embrace that idea of being squirrels, because they are certainly not ducks, right? And they do not line up in a row. And so as my squirrels are running around, I have to learn that I have to embrace my journey, just like you have to embrace your journey, right? That God has called you to, not me to, right? He's not called me to raise somebody else's kids, and he's not called me to manage somebody else's house. Thank goodness he's not called me to be somebody else's wife, right? He's called me to be who I am, and he's called you to be who you are and to walk on this journey. And so daily we should be saying to ourselves, who does God say that I am? Right? We just read in Psalm 139 that I am precious, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that he knew me before the foundations of the world, right? And so we want to remind ourselves, who does God say I am? And then we want to ask, what does he have for me to do today? Right? Some of us, we get up and go to our job, we do the same things every day, and God is in that, right? And you want to be asking him, hey, what do you want me to do today? Who am I going to encounter today? How can I be encouraging? What can I do? Some of us don't know what's going to go on in our day-to-day lives, right? Things are a little bit different every day. Your job may be a little bit different. You have days off. The important thing is to ask, what's God want for me today? Right? Just that one little connection. What's God want for me today? So as you embrace living your life on purpose each day, recognize who you are and what it is God wants you to do. So what are some practical ways that we can learn to number our days, to have wisdom, right? So if we number our days, that's going to have us live in a way that we are wise about how we're living, because we recognize the preciousness of that day, and to live a life that makes a difference. So the first thing is to cherish the memories you have, right? If I were to ask you right now to think back to a favorite memory from when you were a child, most of you could immediately think of something, and probably something in vivid detail, right? Remember something in very vivid detail. When I think about my childhood, I think about the amazing grandparents that I had. Like, I had the best grandparents. When I say that, I'm not kidding. Like, we grew up right behind them, the best grandparents. And that we had fun. And they invested in my life. Huge, huge part of my childhood memories revolve around my grandparents. And I've told my kids that I'm often sad that they never got to meet them here. But that I can't wait for them to meet them in heaven one day. And I could ask you to think back to a difficult time in your life, whether as a child or an adult. And again, most of you could immediately think of something and imagine yourself back in that moment and think about how that affected your life going forward, right? Memories are very, very powerful things. We can instantly be transported back in those memories. And this morning, I want to remind you that your memories are there for you to cherish. Both the good and the bad, the hard and the happy, the joy and the sorrow, because those memories have brought you to where you are today. And without those things, you would not be who you are today. They've helped shape you as a person, and God has been there with you. And even in the hard, like I said before, He never wastes anything. Never. And that nothing that we've experienced will be wasted, and that He will find a way to work it out for our good. The Old Testament is full of times where God said to the Israelites, hey, I want you to build this altar right here, right? These rocks, I want you to stack them up, and I want you to put them right here so that you can remember what I did in this place for you. Having stones of remembrance for the Israelites helped them to cherish the memories and the times that God showed up for them, and it helped them to move forward with the things that He had called them to because they had the confidence in where He had brought them from. Right? They could look back at those memories and say, oh yeah, you remember when He parted the Red Sea and we walked across? Okay, we can do this, right? And so our memories help do the same things for us. We can look back at all the times that God has worked in our lives and how He's used all of the things that we've walked through and continue to walk through and trust that He is working. Always, always, I promise you, He is always working for what is best for you, even if it doesn't feel that way sometimes, right? Now, we can often, memories are fantastic things, and we can often get caught looking back at yesterday and wishing we could go back, right? The things that we would do differently, the people that we miss, the places that we miss, and I mean, I certainly miss 145-pound Heather. Like, if I could go back and get 145-pound Heather, like, that would be fantastic, you know? However, we have to have faith in the process of moving forward. And while we cherish the memories that we have to move forward. And that can be hard. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So this verse encourages us, like, hey, I'm thankful. I'm cherishing my memories. But you got to keep moving forward, right? You can't stay there. And just a little side note, okay, this verse also talks specifically about being thankful in all circumstances. And I know that this may, like, this is just a simple, silly thought. But there is always something we can find to be grateful for. In even the most difficult situations, there's something we can be grateful for. Gratitude can make a huge difference in your life. Where we choose to focus will help us be able to see God more clearly in our journey. Like, if our focus is on all of the negatives, it's going to be hard to see how God is working. But if we can choose to pluck out a few things that we're grateful for in the journey, then that's going to help us focus on God. It's going to help us to have a better focus. A few weeks ago, I came out from the gym, and those of you who know me know that I spend a lot of my time at gymnastics for my kids. And so we had been at the gym for probably 3 or 4 hours, and I came out. We're getting ready to leave, get in the car, won't start, completely dead. Great, right? So, okay, now, that does not stress me out very bad. My dad's a mechanic. I'm the oldest of 5 girls. Like, I know how to jump a car off. So my friend pulls her car over, jumps the car off, nada. I'm like, oh, man, like, is it the alternate? Like, I'm going through all these things. And I've called my dad, and we've talked about it, and he's like, well, just let me know. My dad's philosophy is like, you figure it out. Not that he won't help, but he's like, figure it out, and then let me know if you still need me. So my friend drove me to the auto parts store, and I picked up a new battery, and I came back and wrestled it into my car, you know. And it started right up, no problem. And I got back in the car, and as soon as it started up, the very first thing that I did was thank the Lord, because this was a Monday, and that whole weekend before, I had been way up in the mountains hauling a bunch of people around. And had the battery died then, it would have been a completely different issue. And so I was just really thankful. Lord, thank you that that did not happen yesterday. Right? Literally yesterday in this story. And so there was some gratitude in my heart that helped make that situation not so frustrating, right? Was I a little bit frustrated that I was trying to loosen screws to get this bar off the battery that I don't even know why it's there? Yes, okay. But I was grateful. I was grateful that it had not happened and that the Lord provided a way for me to get a battery in it, and I didn't have to call my husband to come help until the very end, which he did. But anyway, but it was that focus of where my focus of gratitude was, right? I could have been super frustrated about the whole situation and that this was happening. But there was that like, hey, thank you, God, that that didn't happen this weekend, because that would have been a mess, much bigger mess. And so there's a ton, like if you want to Google it, right, when you leave here, if you want to Google it, there is a ton of scientific research that talks about how gratitude changes the way that our brain works and how it affects every part of us. There's a recent study that says that the practice of gratitude can have huge payoffs. Studies have associated gratitude with a number of benefits to physical and mental health. And in particular, those who regularly express gratitude can hope to sleep better, have an improved mood, and have a boosted immune system. People who express gratitude experience fewer aches and pains and also report feeling healthier than those who don't express gratitude. World-renowned researcher Robert A. Emmons, you can Google him, he's got a ton of work that he's done, ton of research about gratitude and your body, how your body reacts. Robert A. Emmons has conducted numerous studies about the relationship between gratitude and happiness. He found gratitude was linked to lower depression, lower anxiety, and that it helps build strong relationships. Neuroscience research says that expressing gratitude can increase levels of the brain's feel-good chemicals, dopamine, oxytocin, and serotonin. These neurochemicals are associated with the feelings of connection, closeness, and happiness. And when I was putting this little part in and reading and doing a little bit of research, I was like, none of us should be surprised by this, right? God created our bodies in amazing ways. And so why shouldn't thanking him and expressing gratitude and finding something good in where we're at be something that's good for us in a multitude of ways? And so you want to remember what God has blessed you with. Be thankful for what God has done and be filled with joy for the memories that you hold. But you don't get stuck in the past. And realize that you are living today in what will be tomorrow's memories. Right? As much as we're sitting here right here today, this will be a memory tomorrow. And you'll say, oh, remember yesterday when she said blah, blah, blah. Right? That's a memory. And so you want to remember that today will be tomorrow's memories. And so the second way to make sure that you are making your days count is to be present in the moment that you're living. Something that plagues our culture and our society today is not being present. And when I say that, like I am talking to myself, right? We live such distracted lives. Often thinking of yesterday, or dreaming about tomorrow, or stuck in a screen comparing yourself to someone else, right? And those things in themselves aren't bad, but it is where it takes you out of being present with the people that you love and the people that you want to connect with. It is so easy to go through the day and not be truly connected to the people that we come in contact with, or the people that we love the most. We want to be intentional about our time and how we invest it in the people that we're around. One of my great desires for our family is to eat dinner around the table every night. And we've gone through seasons of where we've done like really well, right? And then other seasons where it just doesn't happen, right? It just doesn't happen. It can't make it happen. But for me, it's really important. And I want it to be part of what we do as a family because it's being intentional. Everybody's phones are away from the table. You're sitting there. I force my kids to answer some kind of question, like about their day or something that they like or whatever, you know? But some days, like making this happen is hard. Honestly, some days I'm tired. And by the time, you know, dinner rolls around and dinner's cooked, like it would be really easy, and it has happened, to say the food's ready, just fix yourself a plate and like watch TV, or we're going to watch a movie, like whatever, like something that's not bad, right? It's just not what I want for our family. And so I'm trying really hard to pull that back. I want to be intentional in investing in our family and in our kids. And that means finding ways to be present. We often try to walk our dogs together. Like everybody, we have three crazy dogs that are wonderful. We're trying to speak life over them instead of how they actually are. And so after Corey's message last week and the plant video, if you guys haven't seen that, y'all should listen to Corey's message last week, his podcast, and watch the video from IKEA. But so we were trying to speak positively about our dogs. But we'll all walk them together. Or on the weekends, we try to get in a family hike, sometimes much to my children's protest, because they would rather sit at home and play video games or do a number of other things, right, that don't involve going out and being active. But we're trying to change that. We want to be intentional. And so as hard as it is to get these things and to do them, I'm always grateful for the intentional time that we've spent together and being present with each other. So we need to learn to be present in the moments we are in. And sometimes those moments are awesome, right? Sometimes family dinners, they're great. Everybody's having great conversation, getting along well, like super awesome. And then sometimes we're present in moments that are not, right? Moments that are not awesome, that are not going how we planned, that this is not where we wanted to be right now. And a lot of times we are looking for the easiest way out of the hard things, right? Okay, God, I got the lesson. Can I go now? Right? I'm ready to move on. And so we want the easiest way out of the hard things that we encounter. And I promise you this, that you will encounter hard things. Okay? Maybe you are at a point in your life where you've never encountered a hard thing. And I say, God bless you. That's amazing. And I hope that it stays that way. But I'm pretty sure that at some point there's going to be a hard thing that you encounter. And every day in some way, there are challenges and difficult things that we face. And most of us feel like getting through them the fastest way possible would be best. Right? All right. I'm ready for the exit ramp. Okay? However, God looks at this different, and he uses all of the circumstances and situations that we face to grow our faith, to grow us. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10 says that we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Right? So like God's saying, hey, things are going to be hard, but it's not going to crush you. It's going to make you better because the life of Jesus is in you. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And we must always believe that God is working even when we don't see it. Even when we feel like there's no way out, that he is always, always working. So you only have today. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is not guaranteed. So be present today in your moments, in every moment that you have with the people that God puts in front of you. The final way to embrace your journey is to make the most of your time, to make the most of your time is to make today count. right? Today is it. I'm going to focus on today and making today count. The reality is that the way you are present today will determine the future you walk in tomorrow. My husband has been trying really hard. He's a very smart man, and he's been trying really hard to help especially our teenage boys. Haley's not quite old enough yet to help our teenage boys recognize and see that the decisions that you're making right now, the habits that you're forming right now, the things that you are doing right now, those are going to set you on a journey, right? On a trajectory. And if you will do these particular things, it will help set you up to be more successful, right? And, you know, when we're young, we don't always see the benefit in that. But I'm hoping that my boys see the wisdom of their dad and are like, oh yeah, okay, I see dad. I see what you're trying to say. Because what we're doing today will determine the future that we walk in tomorrow. And perspective really matters, right? We can be so focused on this life that we're living right here, right now, right? All the things that we have to do in a day. And while those things are really important and as consuming as this life on earth is, it's only this brief time, right? Compared to eternity. And so our perspective matters in that this life, as consuming as it is nothing compared to eternity and the foreverness that eternity encompasses. Eternity will be a place where we celebrate all the wins and the success of making it through our earthly journey. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed." Heaven and eternity is going to be amazing, right? And so we're shifting our perspective that while things on earth may be hard right now, that there is an eternity coming. And we want to continue to make the most of our days here. Don't be on someone else's journey. And don't be someone who's stuck looking back at your journey. I heard a famous singer who has experienced a lot of hardship in his life say not too long ago that the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror for a reason. Right? Looking out is so much bigger and broader than your need to look back, right? I don't know how many of you, a lot of you, have experienced teaching your kids to drive, right? I certainly want them looking out the windshield a majority of the time, right? We're supposed to check our mirrors and all that kind of thing, but like I don't want them focused on the rearview mirror, who's behind us. I want them looking ahead. Making your life count and walking the path God has you on means looking ahead and trusting that there is purpose in where you are and that this part of your journey is just the beginning of an extended journey into eternity. The sorrows we face right now will wilt in comparison to the joy we'll experience in eternity with God. Galatians 6:7-9 says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I can't tell you over how many times over my years of serving Jesus, which has been a long time, that I have said, reminded myself of this scripture. Okay? Some of those seasons were in raising little children, right? Do not grow weary in doing what is right and in doing good, because you will reap a reward, right? There will be a harvest. There will be a blessing if you don't give up. Because sometimes I felt like, all right, this is it. I'm done. I can't do anymore. Like they can just go outside and fend for themselves, right? It'll be fine. sweet, you know, they'll survive. But keeping our focus and remembering, hey, as I plod along, as I push, steadily, steadily continuing to do the things that God's called you to, right? To make your life count, to focus on what he has for you to do today, right? Those are the things, putting one foot in front of the other, right? Cade is moving up to a different level in gymnastics this year. And that means that one of the events that he does is pommel horse. Now, if any of you have seen men's gymnastics, they have this big thing, and it's got handles, and they do circles and flares and all this crazy stuff, right? And so this will be Cade's first year with the handles, the pommels on, right? He's been working the flat horse, and he's great at flat horse. He's an amazing athlete. And so it's a big challenge to add those handles, right? And so we were talking about it the other day in the car, and he's like, yeah, Mom, I know I'm trying. Like, he is such a hard worker, right? But this feels like a really big challenge. And I said to him, okay, well, how do you eat an elephant? Right? And he said, one bite at a time. As if he's heard this speech before, right? But that's true, right? This life that we're living, what we're talking about this morning, the day-to-day, that just means sometimes just walking and putting one foot right in front of the other, right? And then before you know it, you're headed out the door, right? No, just kidding. I mean, that is a song. But so we want to remember that we are going to encounter hard things, right? But focusing on God, who he says he is, who he says we are, what he's called us to, that those are the moments that are going to turn into these amazing memories of how God has walked with us along. And when we get to eternity, to be able to look back at all these amazing things that God did in our lives and through our lives, right? So keeping our focus on the right things will help us make our days count. And I just want to throw in one last thing. I want to talk for just a moment about the Proverbs 31 woman. She is a rock star of a woman, right? Like when you talk about the ultimate woman, if you've never read Proverbs 31, you should go read it. She's an ambitious lady. And she's got some really good insight into life. And she certainly has her ducks in a row. And when you read about her, she's the kind of woman that we all aspire to be. And I've read this chapter many, many, many times in my life. And I'm always in awe of how she lives her life with such intentionality. Every part of her day has a purpose, and every part of her day has a plan. But for this morning, I want to focus on Proverbs 31:25. And this is what it says. It says that she is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Now, the clothed in strength and dignity part, that's awesome, right? But at the beginning of this year, in January, the part of the verse that said, she laughs without fear of the future. Man, that started to dig really deep in my heart. And I was like, okay, God, that's something that I want. Because I need you to bring that to life in my heart. Because if I'm being honest, there are so many things about today and the future that scare me, right? Are my kids going to turn out okay? Are my parents going to stay healthy? Are we making the right decisions financially? Is this weird pain that I'm feeling something really bad? Right? Like, and you can ask my husband, I certainly tend to be a worst case scenario thinker. And like, and you know, and so that's part of something I'm trying to change about myself and asking God to do it too, because I want to be like the Proverbs 31 woman who can make the most of her today and have amazing memories and be able to look ahead without fear of the future. And so every day I keep thinking of the scripture in hopes that I can have enough trust and confidence and faith, not in myself, not in money, and not even in how my kids turn out, but in the God of the universe, to face the future with confidence and without fear. And I hope that this morning you've been encouraged wherever you are on your journey, and that you see even more purpose and direction and confidence in who God has called you to be. That you know that you can live out your days with purpose. That you can be grateful for the memories and embrace the moment you are in today and look to the future with confidence, knowing that you are sowing the right seed and that God promises you will reap a reward. May you know that you are loved today beyond your wildest expectations, and that the God of the universe knows every hair upon your head, every tear that you have shed, every issue that you struggle with, and that he will never leave you or forsake you, and that he always, always has your best interest.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.